Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Good morning. As chaplain for Cornerstone Housing for Women, for many of the women I meet in our emergency shelter, these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," would be hard to hear and to believe. Many of them who tell me and also participate in our worship services, who are people of faith, express that it is difficult to trust in God. Trust that God will provide a place for them to live that is safe, warm, and permanent. Many of these women are living with past traumas, trauma of abuse and abandonment. Others, new immigrants to Canada, have experienced hardships, leaving them without hope, hope in finding a place to live, instead finding themselves homeless. Things that they did not expect when they arrived as a refugee to Canada. For many of us, we take for granted the privilege of having a comfortable, stable home. It's hard for us to imagine falling into a situation where we lose everything, our home and our livelihood. Even for the women I provide spiritual care and counseling who live in our supportive houses with Cornerstone, they also share with me the difficulty they have in believing that these homes that they're living in can actually and are their forever home, and that they won't lose it. Just before I went on Sabbath leave at the beginning of this month, one young woman who, since the age of 10, has experienced or never experienced a safe and comfortable home. She shared with me that in every home that she lived until she came to Cornerstone, she was subjected to mental, physical, and emotional abuse. Despite her being a child in many of these homes, she holds herself responsible for everything she experienced, and she blames herself for losing her homes. She's now in a positive, caring, and safe environment, but struggles with believing it is a forever home and is afraid that something will happen and she'll lose it. No matter how much reassurance I gave her and continue to give her, despite her telling me that she trusts me, this woman admitted difficulty believing that her wish for this place to be a permanent home will actually come true. Fear and disbelief, part of our human condition. Today's gospel reading may be familiar to many of you because we often hear it at funerals. It's a passage that's chosen to support and comfort those coping with the loss of a loved one. In these times, many are filled with grief and sometimes disbelief and worry. But here we are in the season of Easter, continuing to journey with the disciples in their last days with Jesus before his ascension. After witnessing Jesus' crucifixion, the fear of the disciples would have been heightened. as we heard the story of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus two Sundays ago, their fear, grief, and despair was so deep that they were unable to recognize Jesus until he broke bread in front of them. Today we step back a little in time with the disciples, hearing Jesus speaking to them about his death, leaving them, and at the when he's speaking to them, this is where what we would call the Last Supper. In chapter 13, if you look back in the gospel, we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This behavior was uncustomary for a teacher or master to serve his followers or students in this way. And we hear that sort of confusion through Peter's explanation where he says, "No, you will never wash my feet." However, Jesus answered him saying, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Another teachable moment for Jesus where he models for his disciples the way they need to serve each other and God's people. Jesus also lets them know that if the disciples follow him, they will be blessed. After this, he then speaks the truth that he knows that one of them is about to betray him. And in the way he says this, as I read it, there's some sadness in that. He says, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Just imagine the shock of the disciples, not only trying to grapple with him washing their feet, but wondering which one of them is going to betray Jesus. Fear and disbelief. Jesus is very much aware of the effect his actions and words have on his friends. But Jesus passes on ahead, continuing to tell them of what he's about to go through, possibly in an effort to give them some comfort. He says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus reminds them of the relationship that they have with him and with God. He tries to assure them that he is not abandoning them, but going to be with God. "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." After responding to Thomas, remember Thomas, with his anxious question, asking, "How do we know where you're going?" Jesus says, "If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Again, Jesus reminds the disciples of the relationship they have developed over this time with him throughout his ministry. Just think for a moment of people that you know that are close to you. You can picture them, you know them, you even sometimes can even finish their thoughts before they speak them. In saying these words to the disciples, Jesus is not chastising them, but instead he's providing them with comfort to trust that what they know of him as a person and to trust their relationship. So having true knowledge of Jesus, Jesus says, "In knowing him, we know the Father and have seen him." So even though we have not and were not present at that time with the disciples as people of faith who believe in God and believe in Jesus, we know in our hearts that he is with us. I believe for many of us, like the disciples, we struggle at times to believe these words and hear them in a comforting way. These times may be times of grief and worry, where our faith is challenged, and where we need some kind of sign to let us know that Jesus is present with us. Like the cornerstone woman that I mentioned a few moments ago, who had experienced numerous disappointments in her life and is now in a healthy, stable place, we too, in our times of struggle, are challenged in our faith, challenged in believing that God is with us. But it is through these healthy, caring relationships with others that we can experience Christ and know that Christ is present with us. As Christians, our knowledge of Jesus, knowing his sacrifice for us, we are regularly reminded of the stories in the ways that he connected with the people, through the ways that he comforted the people, he healed them, and he cared for them. In those moments, Jesus gives us hope. Jesus lets us know that he is always with us and did not and does not abandon us. Also, through our relationship with Jesus, and in turn, our relationship with the Father in heaven, we experience God's never-ending presence. Christ is always here in our present. Christ is always with us. But in order to feel that and acknowledge it, we need to look to our relationships with each other as community. Also in the gospel, towards the end, Jesus talks about Christ's presence being and God's presence through our works. Now, our works doesn't always have to be in the things that we do in terms of, you know, I know the other yesterday cleaning the church grounds, but our presence God's presence can also be felt in through our prayers, through our being there as supports for those who are struggling, through our kind words. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than those, because I am going to the Father." The work that we do for God in caring for God's people and our world, whether we feel they're small, all together, our works coming together magnifies the greatness of God in our world. Amen.